morning, Cascadia. You're listening to KBOO Paul and 90.7 FM. Today is Friday, October 16th, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
David Rosenfeld plumbs the depths of medical insurance depravity.
LNG opponents challenge Clatsop County's decision to allow pipelines in protected areas.
And why you should care about Vancouver's upcoming mayoral election.
Portland area weather today, rain, highs in the mid-60s. Tonight, rain, lows around 56. Warm and wet the next few days.
And first we go to regional news from around Cascadia. Columbia Riverkeeper has thrown a spanner into Clatsop County's decision to allow LNG pipelines in protected areas. Again, the plot here turns on the corporate arrogance that leads developers to disregard public opinion and even federal law. My guest this morning is Brett Vandenheuvel with Columbia Riverkeeper. Good morning, Brett. Thanks for being back with us on Air Cascadia today.
Good morning, Chris.
Thanks a lot for joining us. So talk a little bit, can you, about the press release. LNG opponents challenge Clatsop County's decision to allow LNG-related pipelines in protected areas. How do they expect to get it? Are they just planning to overturn the law or disregard it? Or how do they plan to have their way with people's property?
Yeah, it's not only disregarding the law, it's disregarding the voters in Clatsop County. What happened is last year, doing the bidding of the LNG companies, the Clatsop County commissioners changed the laws to allow pipelines, LNG pipelines, into protected areas. And citizens were so upset that they ran a referendum where 67% of the voters overruled the commissioners to keep these areas protected. And then just last month, the commissioners ignored those citizens to allow the very same pipeline in those very same areas. So it's, I mean, the commissioners certainly have authority to change the law, but it's really an affront on democracy when they do it directly contrary to a huge percentage of what the voters want.
And let's tell them, can you give listeners an idea? This is not just a small pipe tracing its way through the wilds. This is a 36-inch gas pipeline with an area of approximately 50 feet on either side of it. Can you give people an idea of what sort of impact that's going to have?
Yeah, so the pipelines are proposed from the LNG terminals, of which there's two proposed on the Columbia and one in Coos Bay. They'd be 36-inch pipelines carrying high-pressure natural gas that was imported from overseas. This would run through private property that was taken by eminent domain. One of the pipelines is proposed to cross the Mount Hood National Forest, creating one of the largest clear cuts in history on that forest. So it's just a tremendous impact. All the pipelines need to get to a large trunk line that's running to California. The Oregon just doesn't need this much gas that they're proposing to import. So it people are upset for property rights reasons, for environmental reasons, and just the fact that, you know, we don't think we should be importing additional foreign fossil fuels from places in the Middle East when we have renewable energy sources right here in Oregon.
Thank you so much for that. My guest has been Brett Vandenheuvel with Columbia Riverkeeper. Thanks again, Brett.
Thank you.
Vancouver, Washington's mayoral election is heating up this time because it affects Greater Cascadia and the issue of environmental carrying capacity. This year, challenger City Councilman Tim Leavitt is threatening to knock the legs out from under the 70-year-old warhorse, Mayor Royce Pollard. Pollard is working to burnish his image as the safe choice in uncertain times. Leavitt opposes tolling on the Columbia River crossing. He tells commuters they can look forward to more than $1,500 in tolling expenses. He says his election would lead to a scaled-down bridge project. Pollard is all for the bridge and all for the tolls.
More water stories. Biologists and fisherfolk are curious about the enormous Chinook salmon that are being caught on a tiny section of the Chetco River in southern Oregon. We're talking about a huge fish, 30, 40, even 50 pounds. These fish are actually waiting to get upstream so they can spawn. Alas for the salmon, the water in the creek is too low for them to swim up, and the water in the ocean is too warm for them to stay there. With low forecasts of returning fall Chinook, fish like these are needed for spawning now more than ever. One Chetco fisherman has this to say. This is a quote. They're doing a pretty good job of whacking a lot of big wild fish, but whatever's in the estuary should be let go. They need to get upstream, and that's why I'm not fishing this year. Close quotes.
Umqua execs say that other than some weakness in certain office and retail projects in the Sacramento area, Umqua sees few problems. And, of course, the Dow finally broke through the $10,000 cash ceiling, or rather the 10,000-point cash ceiling this week. But none of the above serves as cause to break out the Dom Perignon yet. Umqua Holdings, parent of Umqua Bank, lost over $7 million in the last quarter. And it's not like Umqua is writing loans to the very small businesses that are our economy's last best chance at recovery.
They've been given all of this money. They've been bailed out time and time again. And yet they still won't loan to anybody. Okay, what do they want? A livable, sustainable region? When do they want it? They want it Wednesday at Metro's Reserve Steering Committee. Portland suburbs are chasing a horse that's long out of the barn. The burbs resent metropolitan areas, but really, all they've got to work with, and even that's all they've got to work with, and even that's constantly called into question. Instead of dense, culturally rich infill, what we've got is a swath of strip malls fed by four-lane boulevards. Generally, the suburbs, especially in Washington County, want more traditional economic growth than others involved in the planning process. Suburban cities are more concerned about setting aside land for jobs. Oh, right, the jobs. The ongoing process to designate urban and rural reserves is being driven by projections that the greater Portland-Vancouver-Beaverton area will gain 1 million residents by 2030, with accompanying projections for increased jobs. And no thought whatsoever for carrying capacity.
If Portland Public School staff have their say, the school board could approve a charter school application that would establish Portland's first high school that focuses on arts such as poetry, hip-hop music, and an integrated arts curriculum. According to the staff review, the application met the criteria in describing its mission statement, purpose, and support for learning. Most of the team felt the group met financial accountability and educational standards. They split over whether the school provided sufficient and clear information about demand for the school.
Regents is dropping its lawsuit against the Public Employees Benefit Board for terminating its contract. Mental hospitals are driving community health providers crazy. And Regents is hiking up rates for the elderly, lest they pop their clogs while there's still money in the bank that the insurance companies might be able to get their hooks in. Okay, to sort it all out, David Rosenfeld, independent journalist with the LundReport.org, is with us today, live in the KBOO studios. Good morning, David.
Hi, Chris. Good morning. Nice to be here.
Thank you so much for being with us today. So there's quite a lot going on.
Yeah, yesterday we had three stories that we were following at regarding Regions at the LundReport.org. And the first one I wanted to start with is that 12 people were arrested outside their headquarters in downtown Portland for trespassing. And this was part of national action in nine cities. A total of 54 people were arrested nationwide. And the folks in Portland, they were trying to deliver a letter to Regent CEO Mark Ganz with some demands, asking that their premium dollars not be spent on lobbying efforts that would harm the healthcare reform movement, and asking that they would not make as much profit. Those folks were arrested as they had planned to be, and taken off and made their statements known. So that was the first story. The second story that you alluded to was that Regents has dropped its lawsuit with the Public Employees Benefits Board, and this was something. For those insiders, it's very interesting, but it also has a larger context in that this is the largest insurer in the state, covering close to 1 million Oregonians. And a few months ago, the Public Employees Benefit Board manages the benefits for state employees, and it decided that it was not going to continue its contract with Regents because it was unhappy with the way that it had been managing its enrollees and addressing quality issues. And so it dropped them, and Regents sued the state, and they went to court a couple of times in preliminary motions. Now they've decided to drop the lawsuit, in effect giving up $30 million in revenue. So now we're going to see
our. And of course, we paid for that too. Right.
So now we're going to see our premiums go up even more. Individuals have seen their rates go up 26% last year and 15% this year. Now seniors are going to feel it in Medicare Advantage. Regents also announced yesterday that they're raising their rates for their Medicare Advantage plans by 31%.
Of course they are. They have to pay the lobbyists and the lawyers.
Right. So that's your insurance industry depravity.
Thanks so much for that. My guest has been David Rosenfeld, with independent journalist with the LundReport.org, and you can check out that website. Lots of interesting, useful information that'll make your eyeballs burn with outrage. Briefly, we have two stories, and then we will check in with the membership room.
Hanford is back in the news. The Department of Energy says that the plant is 50% complete. It's over $12 billion, and it'll be ready by 2019, maybe.
Here in Cascadia and around our nearest neighbor, America, farm worker groups are asking the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to set stronger safety standards protecting children who grow up near farms from pesticide drift. Agricultural labor wants the EPA to immediately adopt a no-spray buffer zones around the homes, schools, and parks and daycare centers for the most dangerous and drift-prone pesticides. As always, the poor are paying the price for agribusiness and the petrochemical companies it loves.
This has been Eric Cascadia for Friday, October 16th, 2009. Engineering is Todd Wilson. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Chris Andre is the producer. I'm Liam Delta.
You're listening to All Natural, Free Range, Non-Syndicated KBOO Radio. 90.7 FM in Portland, KBOO.FM on the web. Your support, and your support only, keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
And stay tuned for more great programming and become a member. Call 503-232-8818. Or toll free, 877-500-5266. Or go to the web, our brand new beautiful website, kboo.fm.
It's a stunner. It's fun to play around on the new KBOO website.